Welcome back to the Forward Progress Friday Prop Show, part of the Hammer Betting Network here. Presented, powered by Pinnacle Sportsbook. I'm Zach Phillips, joined here today by John Legeza, Matthew Friedman, and Jack Miller. Thanks, gentlemen, for having me here. Obviously, Jason's not here. He's on a trip right now, trying to rescue toads in the Galapagos Islands. So good luck to Jason on that mission. Hopefully we'll see him back here next week on the channel. But for those of you here today, I will be filling in, guiding the gentlemen through the show. Before we can get into all that, before we can get into the championship games, I got to remind people that Pinnacle is the world's sharpest sportsbook, offering competitive odds for 25 years. That's right. They've been offering competitive odds for as long as I have been alive, 25 years. We preach line shopping here on this channel and all across the network, and with everyday competitive odds, Pinnacle should be a part of your available outs. If you are looking to support the show, make sure to sign up using code HAMMER when you do sign up to Pinnacle, your trusted sportsbook for 25 years. Bet smart, bet Pinnacle. You must be 19 plus in Ontario, not available in the US. Please play responsibly. Gentlemen, let's get into the games here today. We do have the championships ahead of us, so we got to cover those, get into some props here. I appreciate you following along with me as we'll run through these. I do have some notes here from Jason, who apparently not only is he out on this mission rescuing these toads, but he is also a meteorologist as he passed along. We'll start with game one here in Baltimore, the Kansas City Chiefs traveling to take on the Ravens. 3 p.m. start time for this championship game. And according to Jason, we're dealing with rain, 10 to 15 mile per hour winds, which, as he has noted here for me, would be better than last week's games. Matt, we'll go to you first and foremost. What is it that you're looking at in this first matchup?
So Isaiah Pacheco, anytime touchdown, plus 130 is available at a few books, and that one has caught my eye. Now, I am also looking at the injury reports for the Chiefs, because there has been the situation with Pacheco the past couple days dealing with ankle and toe injury, did not practice Wednesday or Thursday. I'm still leaning towards the side of Pacheco playing in this game. And if he plays, I think it's likely that he retains his goal line workload, and maybe they would ease him up just a little bit between the 20s and give Clyde Edwards-Helaire a little bit more work. But, you know, I don't think he's going to see any reduction in his inside the five work. So if he plays, I think this one is kind of good to go. And if he doesn't play, then obviously this bet voids. Now, I will say, like, there's a little bit of uncertainty given the matchup, you know, going against the Ravens, who have allowed just 8 touchdowns to running backs in 18 games this year. Then, of course, the injury, you pull that together, like, it's not a great situation. Also, I'm expecting the Chiefs to be without, first team all pro left guard tackle, or not left guard tackle, but left guard Joe Tooney. Like, that's not an insignificant absence either. So I can see reasons why Pacheco would not find the end zone here. But I mean, he's gotten 100% of the team's short down and distance snaps and inside the five carries in the playoffs. Since week 12 in the games without Jerick McKinnon, there have been 6 of those games. Pacheco has had 87.5% of the team's carries inside the 5-yard line. Like, he's the guy when they get close to the end zone, just in terms of getting the ball to him. And, you know, unsurprisingly, he has scored touchdowns in all of those games. 6 games without Jerick McKinnon, 7 touchdowns, a score in literally all of those games. So I think there's a pretty decent chance here that this game stays close enough to where the Chiefs don't have to abandon the running game. They can still give Pacheco something close to his usual workload. Anytime touchdown. I originally bet this at plus 140, liked it a lot more there, but at plus 130, I think there's still value. I would take this probably all the way to plus 120.
All right, well, first bet we'll lock in here is Isaiah Pacheco, anytime TD. We find that one plus 130. That is pretty widely available. We'll track this here in the BetStamp app in the Find Better section. You can find all of these at Forward Progress HQ. That's FWD Progress HQ. So make sure to check that out if you want to see all the picks given out throughout the course of the week. You want to see how the crew has done Monday through Friday throughout the course of the season. You can find it over in BetStamp. Make sure to check us out there. But Matt, that you're not done there. You do have more in this game. What else is it that you're looking at?
Okay, well, I guess I will continue. Nelson Agholor over, let me see. I think this has moved up to 15.5 at most sports books. Let me just make sure that is actually the case. But even at that number, I still like Nelson Agholor over 15.5 yards receiving. And I mean, it's disgusting to be talking about the guy who's like an ostensible number 4 wide receiver on a team and to take the over there. But I think the Ravens, like, to kind of look at the downside of all this, I think the Ravens are going to have a, you know, pretty run dominant offense going against a Chiefs defense that is vulnerable against the run and missing a number of defenders along the spine of that defense. Even so, I think Aguilar's prop line is too low. Now, he has seen a an increase in work since the week 13 bye, and some of that correlates with Mark Andrews being out. Of course, Mark Andrews returning, maybe that means we don't see as much Nelson Aguilar. But I think Andrews is going to be on a snap count. There have already kind of been reports that it's not going to be the full Mark Andrews workload. And I say more importantly, Nelson's Aguilar increase in workload has correlated with a decrease in Odell Beckham. And I think, like, that is the main thing. Not so much, you know, the absence of Mark Andrews, but that Odell Beckham Jr., like, he played, well, like, I don't know, eight snaps, like, or he ran like eight routes last week. Like, he was basically straight up benched in a tied game at halftime, where in the second half he had like one route. So I think, like, Nelson Aguilar has pretty cleanly overtaken Beckham on the depth chart. And I think that means even with more Mark Andrews, we still see Aguilar, who can play inside and outside, we still see him getting pretty close to the workload that he's gotten to this point. And since week 13, or since week 14, rather, 3.5 targets per game, multiple targets in every game but one, 8 yards per target is what he's hit this season. So even if he has just two targets, I think he has a pretty decent chance of hitting the over here. In his 12 games with two plus targets this year, he's gone over this number in 8 games, so 66.7% of the time. So kind of put all that together, I know it's sort of disgusting to be thinking about now Nelson Aguilar, but I think this number is still too low at 15.5.
All right, well, 15.5, we can find the best number available at +103 at Pinnacle. So if you needed any more convincing to take a minute and go sign up at Pinnacle Sportsbook, there it is right there. Competitive odds, best price available for Nelson Aguilar over 15.5 receiving yards. Jack, we'll go to you next here. What is it that you're looking at in this Ravens-Chiefs matchup?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gus Edwards under 0.5 receptions at +160. I know we've been on Edwards receiving unders a couple times this year, and I think he's burned us a couple times, but I'm going back to it, and it's largely just based on the +160 juice. Edwards ran 5 routes last week before he did leave in the fourth quarter due to injury, but they were up by a bunch at that point, so there weren't that many route opportunities even left. And even if there were, Justice Hill is the primary passing down back in Baltimore. That's not going to change, and we even saw Justice Hill play more in normal game script last week. So there is some chance that the Ravens start to tilt things more toward Hill now they're in the postseason. If you're just game log watching, if you discount the week 18 when the Ravens weren't really trying, as well as week 1 when J.K. Dobbins played, Edwards has gone under this line in 6 of 15 games, which makes this plus EV at +160. Barely, but then you have to factor in that he's also caught 92.3% of his targets this year. His career number is 81.1. I think that's a more reasonable estimation, if not still a little bit high, just looking at running back catch rates around the league. So I think that at +160, I'm willing to gamble and go back to the well on Edwards under 0.5 receptions.
Matt, I noticed you were excited about that one.
This is just, you know, people who have listened to the show, like, I famously or infamously rather took the under on 0.5 receiving yards, you know, one time for Mr. Gus Edwards. And he, like, ripped off, I don't know, like an 80 yard reception on one target, just absolute ridiculous trash. So yes, I am with Jack in spirit on this. I'm just gonna say it will be incredibly tilting, Jack, when Gus Edwards gets one reception and turns it into -2 receiving yards, you know, just to screw you and also do nothing with that opportunity.
I look forward to tilting that.
That would be the ultimate spite of the show if he does that. Just kind of calling back to Matt's bet earlier on, and then Jack's for this one. Now, John, we've gone through Matt's bets, Jack's bets. I get the privilege of seeing what gets sent over ahead of time, so I know what's coming. I noticed that there wasn't anything for this game that you were necessarily eyeing or had locked in, but why would that be? Or is there anything that might be coming up this weekend or you might be looking out for?
No, in the first game, I have Kelce in the first game. I thought we were going to say I actually have a bet on a player we've heard of before. Oh. So, yeah, let's go with Travis Kelce. You know, death, taxes, Thanos, and Kelce in the playoffs. These things are all absolutely inevitable. You know, funny, doing my research, listening to stuff. Obviously, other people are wondering what Kelce is going to buy Taylor Swift for Valentine's Day. I don't care less. I'm worried about the playoff play. It's been awesome. Check this out. Going back to 2019, we have 17 playoff games. That's a full season. 126 catches, 1,466 yards, and 18 touchdowns. Holy cow. That's 7.5 catches for 86.2 yards per game. The line is set again at 61.5, just like last week. We went over it last week. He got to 70. I think he does it again. Again, just more recently, these two games in this playoff stretch, 12 for 146 and 2, 29% of the team target share, 26% of the team air yards, kind of what, you know, what we're looking for, those kind of underlying utilization metrics. Now, I know Baltimore's defense is very good, right? I think that goes without saying. However, just using like tight end against stats can be misleading and lack some context because not all tight ends are created equal. Baltimore's actually gotten torched twice by alpha tight ends. Hockenson went 11 for 86, and that was the McBride game also, 10 for 102. So you really can't pitch me that they're a lockdown tight end defense, if there is such a thing, when you've had two double-digit reception games. So Kelce's had 9 targets or more 9 times this season. I think that becomes number 10 this time. And I'm not sure how the Chiefs, which have a 21-point implied team total, could get there without Kelce having 62 receiving yards. I'm not sure if we're too much into the averages, the means, maybe what happened at the end of the regular season, which I'm just seeing more as a lull. So I'm kind of buying lull on a time-tested, you know, asset here. Give me Travis Kelce to go over 62 receiving yards.
All right. 61.5 minus 110. We locked that in as well. Matthew, thoughts on that?
Yeah, can I jump in? I have a question, John, Jack. Interested in your thoughts on this, because, you know, like a lot has been made this week of Mahomes in the postseason and like how he really does kind of like elevate his game. And if you look at, you know, against the spread record for his career, you know, about break even, and the playoffs, really profitable. And you kind of look at what Mahomes has done just in terms of like his success, you know, EPA, success rate, passing yards, all of that. Like, it does jump up in the playoffs. And I feel like, I mean, with a 17 game sample, like we kind of have enough at this point to be able to say, you know, like that there's probably some signal here. And there's always kind of been the thing with like Andy Reid holding back, like, quote unquote, like the good plays for when they've had good competition and for like games that matter. And so, you know, I'm wondering, John, you had mentioned like, I kind of don't see why this line with Kelce as at this point, like, should we be making more adjustments to this Chiefs offense based on the fact that, okay, this is the playoffs and there has been this upward trajectory for Mahomes in his career, and then that trickles down to everyone else in the offense. Like, how much should we be weighting the fact that this is the playoffs versus just, okay, this is the 2023 Chiefs offense, and that offense hasn't been as good as all of the other Mahomes offenses to this point?
You know, it's interesting. I don't think those two things are necessarily as far apart as they might have been earlier in the season, Matt. I think they kind of met right on that trajectory. The idea being, again, most of us who follow football, cover it, know this. The Chiefs were desperate for an answer on offense. We love Travis Kelce, blah, blah, blah. You can't run your entire offense for him. You need another piece. It used to be Tyreek Hill. Some of us thought it'd be Sky Moore, like myself, face plant. And it wasn't. It ended up being Rashee Rice. Now, it took a little while, but right now I feel like that answer has been found, and we shouldn't be looking at the Chiefs from week 1 through 13 or whatever, because it just is not that iteration. As far as the playoff stuff goes, man, these are one of these things that are very hard to capture in the spreadsheet, and I'm an analytically dense guy. Man, playoff goats doing playoff things. When Jordan, why didn't Michael Jordan ever get to a game 7? Like, there's just things like that. Guys that switch it on. I find Mahomes, his out is that he runs more. I feel like when his back is up against the wall, he's more willing to run for it, get those important first downs. And we know if you give Mahomes one more shot than he's deserved, he's probably going to stick the knife in you. So I don't think we necessarily need to be splitting Mahomes pre and postseason or exhibition regular. Just he's great no matter what. To the play calling, I think there is something to that also, Matt. So this Chiefs team, no, it's not the Tyreek Hill Chiefs, But it's also not the week one Chiefs that are lost on offense for an answer if they need a third and 12.
I do think there's also some signal in Mahomes taking it to another level in the playoffs. I also think the Ravens are a big step up from, you know, the Bills and the Dolphins, who are both dealing with defensive injuries. But I do think there's some signal in A, Mahomes, like, kind of taking his performance to another level in the playoffs, and B, I mean, Kelsey's playoff numbers of the past few years are pretty ridiculous. So I do think that there's also probably some signal in the Chiefs really consolidating targets around Kelsey and maybe Rashee Rice now that it's deep in the postseason.
All right, before we move off of this game here, there's a question in the chat here from Otto Paul asking, you know, Matt, I'll go to you on this one. Got here late, so not sure if you guys mentioned it. Are you worried about Pacheco's turf toe? Now, as someone who was looking at Pacheco, I'll throw to you first.
Yeah, I am, you know, going to see exactly what he looks like coming out of the injury report today. You know, did not practice the multiple days to open the week. So yeah, a little bit worried about, you know, the toe and the ankle, but I'm, you know, kind of more on the optimistic side that he will play. And, you know, if he plays, there's the bet that I mentioned earlier, Pacheco anytime touchdown plus 130. If he plays, I think he has his kind of locked in goal line role as usual, but maybe, you know, he doesn't have as much work between the 20s. And then, of course, if he doesn't play, the bet void. So that would be the way that I would approach the Pacheco thing. But yeah, like I'm like a little more worried about the Pacheco injury than I would be if it were just like the normal, like Pacheco, like, oh, he's, you know, limited on the injury report, but like it's locked in, he's going to play. Like, I don't think it's certain that he's going to play.
And now final question here about this game. I see another one come into the chat here. Howdy asking, Matt, what's your best guess at optimal performance waiting for Mahomes? 20% there.
20 is a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. 20 is high. I don't know. I'd probably say like 10, like 15%.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably like, I'll say to echo what Jack said, I am more skeptical than I think, like other people are, or like the market, the sports betting market is, on what we've seen out of the Chiefs in the past two games because of the injured Dolphins, the injured Bills. Like, that's not to say that there's still not signal of the Chiefs figuring things out at the right time of year, but I don't know if they're quite as dominant offensively as they looked the past 2 weeks. So like from like a against the spread perspective, that puts me more on the Ravens. And that like trickles down to what I would project in all of the players. But so like, I'm not as sold that we get like the optimal Mahomes performance this week, because it's also a really tough matchup that they have going against the Ravens. Like, just like a second to back up on that, like with Kyle Hamilton, like they have someone who is almost like built in a lab to challenge Travis Kelce at tight end position. So like they've got like the premier strong safety to be able to go against Kelce. And then in Marlon Humphrey, who I think increasingly looks like he's going to play this week. I know that they've played him most of the time on the outside, but he is one of the rare corners who actually can go like pretty seamlessly between the perimeter and the slot. And I think like if they wanted, they haven't really used guys in shadow coverage this year, but he has that tool in his bag. If they wanted, they could put Kyle Hamilton on Kelce and Humphrey on Rashee Rice for like almost the entire game. And like, that would, I think, really challenge the Chiefs on offense. So I'll just kind of be curious to see how it is that the Ravens like want to approach this defensively, but like if they pull certain levers, like they could legitimately challenge the Chiefs. So I'm a little bit pessimistic about the Chiefs this week.
Fair enough. That'll do it for the KC Baltimore preview there. Again, if you want to see the picks that were given out on the show here today, you can head on over to the BetStamp app. You can find us in the Find Betters section as Forward Progress. That's FWD Progress HQ. So make sure to check that out. You can see all the bets throughout the course of the entire season. But we'll move on because we've got another championship matchup to look at here today with the Detroit Lions heading out to San Francisco. This one is a 6:30 p.m. start time. Weatherman Jason telling me that there's no weather to worry about in this one. He says, nothing on the forecast. Don't worry about it. Just throw to the guys and they'll tell you what to do. But I got to remind you guys before I can give it to them. There is a watch along for this game as well. You can join George, Alex Moretto, and Jason Cooper alongside them for a watch along. during the Detroit-San Fran game. Hopefully Moretto can pull some strings, maybe get Joey Knish in there as he sweats out his Lions, seeing if they can get to the Super Bowl. But before we can even get to that watch-along, we'll break this one down from a player props perspective. Jack, we'll go to you first. What is it that you're looking at between the 49ers and the Lions here with player props?
Yeah, a bit of a scary one here, but I'm going to fade Christian McCaffrey in the spot and go with under 19.5 carries, -130. I do have to give a little bit of credit to China Maniac on Twitter. He was on Circles Off, and that's when I started following him. But he tweeted about this one, and I liked it after looking into it a little bit. I just think with these huge carry numbers, you need so much to go right. You need the San Francisco to be ahead the whole game. You need Elijah Mitchell only played one snap last week, but you need that to hold over for another week. When you're asking a guy to get 20 carries, you need him to stay healthy for 20 carries plus 4 or 5 receptions, which is not as easy, which is not like a simple task. And, you know, if he does get hurt, I'm sure the over bettors will get refunded by DraftKings and FanDuel, but the under bettors will cash regardless. But then the bigger thing is that the Detroit run defense has just been much stronger than their pass defense. And we've really seen the past two games, the opposition lean into that pass heavy attack. The Rams in the wildcard game had an 8.2% pass rate over expectation. Last week, the Buccaneers were at 8%. No running back has made it to 70 yards this year. Obviously they haven't played a running back like McCaffrey because there isn't a running back like McCaffrey. And so I think that there's a good chance that that streak gets broken this week. But even with that, I do think we see this be more of a Brock Purdy, Ayuk, Kittle, Debo, if he plays game, McCaffrey through the air. I just think it makes so much more sense for the 49ers to attack the Lions through the air, and that could lead to less McCaffrey rushing attempts.
Right. Under 19.5, -130 there. We'll lock that in. John, go to you next. What prop are you looking for? And by the way, apologies. I did go and look at the email. I see it in there now. I don't know how I missed that one. Been a long week.
So first things first, I got to sign off on Jack. That carry line is so high. I had to look myself. McCaffrey's gone over that once in 15 weeks, and no one's gotten to 20 carries against the Lions. Again, it's very tough to do that. You need a ton to happen. So that's super sharp. All right, hold on. I had to look this one up. Barry, Robin, Maurice, and Jameer, we're talking about my favorite Gibbs, right? So give me the fourth BG today. Jamar Gibbs, over 22.5 receiving yards. That's -110, but I do want to get a piece of the ladder here. Let's get my first ladder of the day. Plus 50 yards is at +550. So, Zach, normally when we have two-step, we'll go 0.8 on -110 and then 0.2 on the +550 because I really think we could get there. Right off the bat, from a macro perspective, this is where we want to be, right? Betting on running back receiving props when they're a touchdown underdog and they have a 23 implied point total and like the weather is decent. Something I've been attacking all year. And if it gets boring, it works. It's been, you know, paying the bills. So San Francisco, just because a team is good on defense, does not mean that should disqualify us from going after them with props. Oftentimes that kind of inflates the line sometimes and, you know, creates a disparity with projections. They also run a lot of soft zone. They're always ahead, right? So you're going to get a ton of cover three, a ton of quarters, and a ton of two high. They're allowing the 30th most receptions per game for a reason. They're okay with that at a 66% completion rate, again, because they're all right with it. So they're only one of five teams to allow 90 receptions to running backs. It's more than five a game. And the sixth most receiving yards to running back, that number is at 625. So Gibbs, of course, 12th overall pick, 99th percentile, 40-yard dash. He had 52 receptions for 316 on 71 targets. He's the third option in the passing game, if you ask me. Right, 22% target per route, 5 targets per game, and more than 21 receiving yards a game, exactly what we're going to need. He's eclipsed this 5 times in a regular season in both playoff games. I just think the way the script works out, I think if Dan Campbell wants to win, he knows he's going to need 28 points. I think the best way to get there is to probably open it up a little bit, which would involve Gibbs. He actually might have out-touched Montgomery last game, so we know they're not shy with using him. That workload has actually increased as the season's gone on. And again, he's had a 4-catch floor for 40 yards in the playoffs. I think the Lions know that they can go there. And again, if San Francisco happens to really get far ahead, I think we get the 50 easily because they're just going to allow you to operate. It's something that they've done all year, and they're fine with it. Once they create that distance from the opposition, they kind of, unless they take their foot off the gas, but they'll let you beat yourself at the clock. So give me Gibbs to go over 23 and then hopefully a smidge up to 50.
All right, there you go. We'll break that one up. First ladder of the show here for the championship weekend. Before I go to Matt here for final prop of this game, Jack, we'll go to you and ask you this question or to bring this up here. Archer Dominguez kind of mentioning Purdy over 29.5 passing attempts correlated to the CMC under. Is that something you look at, have any interest in? What are your thoughts on kind of just bringing up this point in general?
Yeah, I do like that. Look, we project over 29.5 for Purdy. The only reason I hesitate with it is that we have shown a lot of Purdy pass attempts projection-wise this year, and they haven't really played out as well as we projected them. But I do think from the angle of we expect them to have a more pass-heavy approach than usual, and the Lions probably keep it closer than the average team against the 49ers. So I do like that as a little adjacent play to the McCaffrey under.
All right. Well, Matt, we brought up, you're going to close us out here for the championship weekend player props. What is the final prop that you're looking at for the Lions 49ers game on Sunday?
All right. I am going back to the well with Christian McCaffrey. So last week I had the prop of McCaffrey to score a touchdown, but go under on the scrimmage yards. Now I feel a little bit bad because the bet that I made cashed, because I bet at 128.5 and he had 128 scrimmage yards. So literally got it by the hook there. But by the time we were on the show, the line for scrimmage yards had gone down. So I think on the show we talked about it, it was 126.5 scrimmage yards or like around there. So like we didn't get it on the show, but I like the idea of that bet in principle. So I'm going back to it, and it dovetails, you know, with what Jack said, on being optimistic or pessimistic rather on Christian McCaffrey and all of the carries that he might get. I'm going to say Christian McCaffrey scores 2 touchdowns this week. So going big for it, but he goes under on the scrimmage yards. And so I would kind of need to look at exactly where that is, but I bet it at scores multiple touchdowns under 131.5, and that was at plus 475. So wherever it is that we kind of lock that in, Zach, if you kind of want to look at that while I'm talking, I think I'll be fine with that. I would bet that down to like plus 450 and then like 127.5, maybe 126.5 on the scrimmage yards. So the idea behind this is that this is inversely correlated in how the books price this, but I don't think that these two events are nearly as inversely correlated as the books or the sports books algorithms would suggest. Like Christian McCaffrey, like we know what he can do as a touchdown producer, 21 touchdowns in the regular season, even though he was injured for part of a game, missed the final week of the season. Number one in the league in red zone opportunities with 63 carries, 16 targets. You know, obviously we know what he can do as a touchdown producer. Scored 2 touchdowns last week. This year, 6 games with multiple touchdowns. I think that part's not really in question. But like, I think what McCaffrey does near the end zone isn't all that correlated to what he does anywhere else on the field. Like what will determine the number of opportunities he gets near the end zone is just the number of times the 49ers get near the end zone, right? Like, so I think he could have 15 opportunities and have like 4 opportunities inside the red zone, or he could have like 30 opportunities in this game and have like 4 opportunities in the red zone. I don't think there would like be much of a difference there. And like just historically, you have kind of seen McCaffrey, he has gone under 131.5 scrimmage yards in half of his 16 full games, but still in 3 of those games, he had multiple touchdowns. So like it is very possible for McCaffrey to have like 120 scrimmage yards and have multiple touchdowns, like 110 yards and have multiple touchdowns. So I think I'm more on the side of McCaffrey not having like that massive game from a yardage perspective, but I don't think that's really going to impact whether or not he has multiple touchdowns in this game. I think the fair price that I would put attached to this is like, you know, around 400. So I have this like true odds of like 20%, 22%. And the market would probably price this as something that is, you know, more like 17.5% probability. So Zach, where are we in terms of the odds here?
Okay. So we can get McCaffrey 2+ TDs and the under at 126.5, and that'll price out to plus 507 right now.
Let's do that. 507 is good.
All right.
That's perfect. Actually great. And then the plus two touchdowns is even money. That's insane. I can't remember actually really seeing that before. I was just looking up in real time. So to your point, you're getting a, you're Matt, I think you nailed it that they're not accounting for how that could happen. You know, especially with the especially with the Detroit pass defense is very leaky. San Fran could end up in the red zone five times without McCaffrey needing a 50-yard run or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Kittle, right, Kittle's a big play guy. Even Ayuk is everyone is expecting Ayuk to go over. I'm surprised no one mentioned him here. I actually liked that. I'm surprised that nice bump boost there.
All right, so we'll lock that in. Matt, what do you want to put on this units-wise if you're going to look at a plus 507 here?
We'll do the one.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sounds good. Okay.
What do we got? What do we got? All of it.
all the picks for today in terms of all the best bets that have been given out here on the show and locked in. Just to recap what we have here, and again, you can find these all in the BetStamp app, track them how we do throughout the show, how we've done throughout the season, all that kind of stuff. You can go over there and you can see David Montgomery. Hold on here. We're looking at what we've got for picks so far given out on the show. Gibbs over 22.5 receiving yards, as well the latter there with the 50 plus receiving yards. CMC under 19.5 carries. Christian McCaffrey, 2 plus TDs as well, parlayed with the under 126.5 scrimmage yards there, plus 507. Going back to the KC Baltimore game, we've got Kelsey over 61.5 receiving yards. Gus Edwards under 0.5 receptions, plus 160. Isaiah Pacheco, anytime TD, as well as the Nelson Aguilar over 14.5 receiving yards. But that's not it. Matt, you do have one more for us here before we close out the show.
All right. We're good. Yeah.
All right. No worries. That'll do it for today's bets, for everything we've got here on the show. Thank you to everyone who tuned in here today live. Thanks to everyone who watches back after. If you listen on podcast, make sure to subscribe, rate, review. Make sure to like the show here today. We appreciate everyone who tunes in, subscribes to the channel, continue to build this thing up. We do have plenty of content coming up still throughout the week. We got Sunday morning, 11 a.m. You can join Rob over for the pizza buffet, looking through available plays that he would still take for the championship games on Sunday as well. Sunday night, doing the watch along for the Lions 49ers game. So you're not going to want to miss any of that. For myself, Jack Miller from Establish the Run, John Legeza from The Athletic, and Matthew Friedman of Fantasy Life. This has been Forward Progress, the Friday Prop Show, part of the Hammer Betting Network, powered by Pinnacle Sportsbook. Enjoy the games this weekend, and good luck on your bets.